Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, the radio show providing up-to-date information on various health topics. Insights for Health is brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, now celebrating 26 years since 1992. The Healthy Habit, where we help you help yourself one step at a time achieve your next level all life long. Our topic today is infertility in both men and women. And our guest today is Lorna Vanderhaeg. Lorna is Canada's leading women's natural health expert who has been researching nutritional medicine for over 30 years with degrees in nutrition, biochemistry, and a master's degree in science. Lorna has formulated and created many natural supplement products for both women and men. Lorna is the author of 13 books, including A Smart Woman's Guide to Hormones. Good morning, Lorna, and welcome back to Insights for Health.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure.
So infertility is becoming a very a topic of increasing concern. And so how common, Lorna, is infertility?
Oh, it's very common. And I think that it's very common because we have so many people who are waiting longer and longer to have children. So I think that's one of the major contributors to our increased infertility rates. When we look at infertility, basically they classify you as having fertility issues after you've been trying to conceive for more than a year. I actually think that year is a bit too long, especially if you're a woman who's over 30.
Yeah, after 30 or 35, I guess, all the stats say it's maybe about 6 months, eh?
Exactly. And if we look at the fact that, you know, the optimal time to achieve pregnancy is between 18 and 25. And so when I was younger, lots of women were having babies between 18 and 25. Now what we see today is couples are waiting until they're 30 and older to start having children. And when your fertility starts to decline every single year after the age of 30.
So, like, they're waiting now, what, because of careers?
Well, they're waiting because of careers, school, lots of different reasons. I think people are getting more educated, which are all positive things. But when it comes to your fertility, we just have to realize that our eggs are getting older every single year after the age of 25. And it's not uncommon for me to see young women, you know, 27, 28, 32, that are having fertility issues.
Yeah, I guess Stats Canada, they said that it's 16% of heterosexual couples now are having experiencing infertility, and that's up more than double, I guess, since, what, 1992?
Oh, exactly. And, you know, when we look at that 16% of couples that are having infertility issues, that's in that 18 to 44 range. But if you take the 30-year-olds and up, it's somewhere around 30%. So it's quite high. And I do a lot of encouraging couples to get pregnant early. And if they can't, you know, we almost are at a point where we want to start saving our eggs.
Like you and I were had a little conversation before the show started here about being the pride of being a mother and a grandmother and on your side and being grandfather on my side here. But I guess we have concerns for that next generation coming. Like if it's doubled in the last, what, less than 20 years or 20, less than 30 years, that next generation coming up as a parent and as a grandparent, I guess we're going to have some concerns.
Oh, we absolutely are. And I mean, if we look at male sperm counts, so it's not just women that have to deal with the aging egg issue or the egg quality issue. It's men as well. You know, sperm counts have dropped by 50% since the 70s, and it's only going to continue to get worse. And right now, it's interesting timing that we're doing this show on infertility because The Handmaid's Tale is airing on television, which is all about when the society has major infertility issues and can't have children.
So it's not just a female issue?
Oh, no, this is an issue for both. And when we talk about infertility in women, that group over the age of 30 is, you know, as I said, somewhere around 30%. We see the same thing with the contributing factor as being the male having the same kind of fertility issues, of course, with sperm counts and viable sperm.
So what's creating the infertility in both men and women?
Well, it comes back to our food always and our environment and man-made estrogens. We call these xenoestrogens or environmental estrogens, and they're completely disrupting not only women's hormones but males' hormones as well. And you need to have your hormones in balance in order to conceive properly.
So what can men and women do here?
Well, when we look at environmental estrogens, you know, the first thing you want to do is stop eating foods that are sprayed with pesticides. So pesticides fit right into your estrogen receptors and turn estrogen on in men and women. And so eating organic food is a really good place to start. Cleaning up your home, getting rid of all of the chemicals in your cleaning chemicals. Another factor, getting rid of soy. I mean, soy products, I call them products because I won't call them food, literally because they're hormone disruptors.
Okay.
So that whole environmental factor is creating issues. You know, we've already seen it with the polar bears in the north in Canada in regards to all of these environmental estrogens that are affecting them. And they're wreaking havoc with men and women as well.
Smoking and weight, do alcohol contribute at all?
Well, alcohol consumption, absolutely, because, you know, when you're going to have a baby, you're building a human. So you've got to think about, you know, getting rid of all of those toxins out of the body, whether they're in the environment or things that you're ingesting. You've also got to have, you know, you're building this temple, so you want to have really good nutrition. Other things that contribute that people may not even think about is low iron in women.
Okay.
Low thyroid. Low thyroid is a huge contributor to infertility. And the problem we have here today in Canada is that our thyroid tests that we have done, the range of normal is too broad. And women should not even try to get pregnant until their thyroid stimulating hormone is below 2. And yet that would still be classified as normal because the normal range in Canada is 0.5 to 5.5. And you would not be diagnosed with low thyroid until you were over 5.5. And so when we look at the fact that we know that women can't get pregnant and stay pregnant when their TSH, their thyroid stimulating hormone, is above 2, that's a big contributing factor.
Yeah. You talk about like thyroid issues, and because it mimics so many other things, we never really know, or people don't know, I guess, when they are having thyroid issues.
No, I sort of have some a program for people trying to get pregnant. So before you even start, a woman should go have her thyroid checked, make sure that her TSH is below 2. If it's above 2.5 and you went to a fertility clinic in the U.S., they would not even start fertility treatments until they got it back down into what we call the optimal range for fertility. Women with low thyroid have recurring miscarriages and infertility, so it's something you've got to have checked out. The other thing is you've got to have your iron levels in the optimal range. So not just normal, but optimal, and that's where you want to have your hemoglobin around 140 and your ferritin around 70. And then get ovulation predictors. You know, these are these little sticks, and you pee on them every day, and they tell you if you're actually ovulating. And here's the key thing. Women don't even know when they're ovulating, and the optimal time is between day 10 and day 15 for ovulation. That means when you're popping out an egg and you can get pregnant. So knowing when you can get pregnant is also important. You know, one of my daughters, she ovulated on day 2. So if she was trying between day 10 and day 15, she'd probably never have gotten pregnant. So knowing when you ovulate is also key. And the man should get checked. You know, considering that sperm counts have dropped so dramatically in the last several decades, you know, before you start, go have a sperm count done. It's such an easy, simple test, and it can get rid of a lot of grief.
Yeah. Well, and what about weight?
So the weight connection is all about blood sugar.
Okay.
And we now have an epidemic of this condition called polycystic ovarian syndrome. And polycystic ovarian syndrome is a condition where women gain weight. They often have male facial hair growth or excess body hair. They can have greasy skin, acne, weight gain around the middle, irregular periods, and infertility. And it is a pre-diabetic disease. So we know that women who have this PCOS have lots of infertility issues. It's hard to get diagnosed with because doctors think that you have to have multiple cysts in the ovaries. But only about 50% of women with PCOS will have multiple cysts in the ovaries. It's elevated blood sugar and insulin, elevated male hormones that are associated with that one. But definitely if you've got way too much weight on your body or you're obese or you have PCOS, you will have fertility issues.
And there's, like with the PCOS, isn't there a higher risk of the of metabolic syndrome?
Yes, so PCOS is a pre-diabetic disease. We could call it insulin resistance or metabolic syndrome. They're all connected to the fact that you have elevated blood sugar and insulin. And in women, when their blood sugar and insulin elevates, their male hormones elevate. And that's not what we want to have happening when we're trying to get pregnant. You want that really nice, natural rise of estrogen in the beginning of the cycle. And then once you ovulate, and if you get pregnant, your progesterone should skyrocket. And this is to keep you pregnant.
So lifestyle plays a pretty important role in all of this.
Lifestyle plays a huge role. You know, it's all about the diet you're consuming, and if you're getting ready to have a baby or you have fertility issues, you want to clean up your diet. You know, get rid of the sugar, protein, healthy fats, lots of dark colored green vegetables. The essential fatty acids are really important to keep all those hormones in balance as well. And, of course, we have lots of nutrients that we use to help optimize fertility in both men and women also.
Lots of natural supplements. Like we're going to be coming up to a break here in a few seconds, Lorna, but what would be some really good natural supplements that both men and women could take?
Well, the first thing is you want to be on a really good multivitamin with minerals, and you want to make sure that it contains folic acid. It's got to have lots of antioxidants. Even things like B vitamins are important, and you want to have those coenzyme form of B vitamins that are already broken down.
Yeah, the activated.
You want to take an iron supplement as well.
Yeah, Lorna, we're going to break for a commercial, and when we come back, let's pick up on nutrition and some of the other issues related to infertility.